Welcome to the Online Success Journey Podcast, your opportunity to discover and learn from entrepreneurs like yourself. This is not your typical podcast, but a place where you can get the real story and find out how real people encounter speed bumps and detours, but journey through to find success. Now, here's your host for the Online Success Journey Podcast, Patience.
Hello everyone and welcome to Online Success Journey. This is episode 251. Today we have Casey Lane, author, traveler, observer to the future, and the founder of Ready Entrepreneur. Ready Entrepreneur prepares aspiring entrepreneurs to understand how to take advantage of technology and global resources to achieve lifestyle freedom by starting their own online business. Hello, Casey.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for coming. I know the clan here is anxious to hear your story. So let's get started with the basics. Okay. Can you my clan a little bit about your background, what you did before you started your own online business?
Sure. I'll do the quick version of a long story. But I was born in England and grew up in Canada, and I joined the Canadian Foreign Service, and I served in the Philippines, Colombia, and Chile. And then I decided to do an MBA because I was doing trade policy and talking to business people. So I decided I went to UCLA in California and went into corporate from there. I worked as a management consultant and then as an executive in the entertainment industry. And then I went to law school because I was talking to lawyers and learning about what was coming to be the big clash between technology and the law, as we all know it now. And in law school, I started ebook self-publishing. So I became quite fascinated with how it's possible for authors to publish directly through Amazon and all the other online bookstores. And once I graduated from law school, I did become a lawyer. I passed the bar, but I decided to focus on my business, building an online business. I think absolutely it's the future. It's the present and the future for so many people. And there's so many opportunities. And I decided that that's where I wanted to focus my attention. So now I help other entrepreneurs who are doing the same thing.
What a background, Casey. Wow. Okay. What is the most dangerous belief an online entrepreneur can have?
I think the first one is their own fear about what they can do. And so it's the belief that they are not adequate or not capable or not an expert, that stops people from actually getting started. And that's dangerous because we the public lose for whatever you have to offer and the value that you have to offer. The online world is wide open, and people who say that they think, oh, everything's been done. No, it's not possible that everything's been done. There is so much that people are searching for online. They're looking for information. They're looking for entertainment. They're looking to make connections, and they're looking to do it through, you know, through different ways, through different perspectives and different approaches. So there is an endless amount of opportunity. And when people get started and maybe they don't have immediate success, because there's a lot of noise on the internet as well. There's a lot of what I call rah-rah people. And if you know what I mean, you know, those people who shout and tell you, oh, you could make $1 million in 10 minutes doing nothing. You know, there's a lot of people like that. And so people who are aspiring entrepreneurs look at those rah-rah people and think, oh, you know, okay, I'm going to be rich tomorrow. And then that doesn't happen, and they get discouraged, and they think, oh, it's me, and I don't have enough to offer, nobody's interested. But really, you have to spend the time, and you have to put in the time to build your business, and you do have something to offer, because everybody does now in the online world.
Why do you do what you do, Casey?
I became interested in entrepreneurship when I was in the Foreign Service. I was obviously traveling the world, and one thing you see is entrepreneurs everywhere. I began to realize that it is something that is not just American. You know, it's so associated with America, all the famous entrepreneurs, but everywhere in the world, there are people who are finding a gap in the economy and filling it. And even in the, you know, smallest places, in the big cities, out in the countryside, you'll see people just really being diligent and discovering and helping and finding solutions for people. So I decided, you know, this is something that's even more important now that we have the technology that makes it so much easier to do. There's so many more people who could have access to this. There might have been in the past of people who wanted to be entrepreneurs and thought, well, you know, I can't do it because it's expensive and I won't be able to spend, you know, I don't have the money to make an investment and so on. Now you don't have to worry about that anymore. So what I do is help people realize that. I want people to realize that they can have their own opportunity. I think that some much bigger group of us have to be entrepreneurs. We have to be self-sufficient and independent. The last couple of months, I think, have taught a lot of people what the future could look like if they don't have their own foundation, if they don't have their own security. And so I think you have an opportunity right now with the technology and the global marketplace. Your consumer base is everyone in the world. So whatever you have to offer, there's bound to be somebody who's interested, right? So I want to help people realize that and then give you the tools to actually do it in a way that makes it sustainable for you. I think a lot of the times when people get going on an online business and they start with a course or something like that, and then they can't do it, they never finish, it's because it's just the way the information is presented doesn't work for them. So I start right at the beginning. I'm before everybody. And I say, look, here's how you get yourself set up foundationally first, how you set up your workspace and make sure you have a schedule that works for you. And then you do the creative part, your business idea, your business plan, and so on. And so I step people through that process. That's what I do in my book, Recast, stepping you through that process so that you actually have a good foundation. And from there, so you can go out into the entire online world. You can go out into, you know, everything that's out there and take advantage. If you want to be a blogger, if you want to be a podcaster, if you want to do an online store. But once you have, you need that good foundation so you have the confidence to move forward.
Let's put man aside. How do you know you are successful?
For me, you define your definition of success, and it means different things to different people. Obviously, I'll say Hollywood version of living in a big house and driving a Lamborghini and throwing money at people and wearing gold jewelry is one version of it. But for some people, especially in the online business world, it's the opportunity to control your schedule. It's the being able to say that you are going to, well, back when we had events to go to, but you're going to go to an event when you feel like it. It's the ability to say you're going on a 2-month vacation, not a 5-day vacation, because that's all somebody would give you. That is, to me, it is you define it based on what you really want in life. When I tell people, I talk about lifestyle freedom, and for some people, it could be just doing the work that they really enjoy. They might work out at 18 hours a day, but they enjoy it so much, it's no longer stressful like their 9-to-5 office job might have been. So I always encourage people, and do that early, decide what you want success to mean to you so that that's the goal that you set. And it also helps you as you're building your business when times get tough or something like that, you can look at those goals, you can look at those objectives and say, that's what I'm going towards. And therefore, you know, going to keep moving forward with it.
Can anyone be an entrepreneur, or are some people more cut out for it than others?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a big debate. I personally think it's anyone, because I believe it comes down to whoever wants to do the work. So when I say anyone, somebody could say, well, that's still a certain type of person who will do the work. And I say, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But that's how I define it. I've read a lot of biographies and autobiographies of entrepreneurs, and they come from so many diverse backgrounds. They have so many different stories, but there's only one consistency, which is they did the work. And when I say you did the work, I mean you actually, I'll say, made the sacrifice, in the sense that they don't go out partying with their friends every weekend. They don't spend 10 hours a day watching Netflix, you know, so depends on where you put your priorities. But those people who decided that they were going to focus and put their time and attention on a business, and they weren't going to succumb, I guess, to peer pressure or even family pressure. That's a big one. I know a lot of people, they want to start a business and then people start telling them, oh, you can't do that, or that's not what we do, or go get a real job. You know, that's the line. Those people who ignored that pressure and basically for just did not do what everybody else was doing so that they could work on a business instead and put the time in and put the effort in and kept going. Perseverance is a big part of it. So if you're that type of person who's willing to persevere, who's willing to not give up, then you can be an entrepreneur. And you can make yourself that kind of person, obviously. And sometimes necessity fuels it for people because they, some people get laid off from their job. They suddenly don't have enough money and they start doing something online just to see what can happen. And they really concentrate on it because they don't have an option. And then it turns into a business for them. So that can happen too. So you could be that person who wants to party with your friends all the time and then just decide that you're going to start a business instead. And maybe nobody in your world believes it. You know, there's always that too. They'd be like, oh, you like to party, you like to go out, you like to be with friends and all of that. And you could say, no, I've decided I'm going to concentrate on my business. I want to work on my business. And to everybody around you, suddenly you've become a different person. That's what Recast, that's the title of my book is Recast, which, you know, if you in the Hollywood or Broadway context means that they bring in a different person to play the role. And so you could think of that in terms of your own life. You make that decision to recast yourself into the role of an entrepreneur, and then you can do it.
What did your family say when you graduated as a lawyer and you decided, no, I'm going to start an online business? What is online business? You don't even have a certification. You don't have anything. So
nobody understands it. And none of my friends do either. And when the first time I went to a conference, this is one thing I encourage people to do, is to go to conferences and be among like-minded people so you don't feel so isolated. Because the first time I went to a conference and I was talking to other entrepreneurs, they all said the same thing. The online business is big. Everybody knows what Facebook is and what Google is and so on. But not too many people know about how to make a living as a blogger. Like, they don't understand how that actually happens. They don't understand how you run an e-commerce store and you're sourcing your products from China and you never even see the products. You know, you're just running the store. People don't understand the mechanics of it. So it seems very strange. And I think that as it grows and grows and grows, obviously more people will be involved. But when I say the names of the biggest online people to my friends and family, they have no idea who I'm talking about. And the biggest people in the business are superstar millionaires, you know, to us, but nobody knows who they are in the regular world, I guess I'll call it that. So you just have to keep going. And I'll do something like I'll send them a link to your podcast, you know, with my essay here. I'm explaining everything. And it's interesting because I get very little feedback. I think it is just too strange for people. It's like, maybe I'm in outer space or something. They don't get it because there are very few people. And this is common. It's not just my friends and family. It's very, very common for entrepreneurs who do this, especially in the online space, that people don't understand. They just don't know what to say because they don't understand the world at all. And it's so much easier when you get a degree and go in a profession and work for a company. Everybody gets that. But what's happening now with online is something very new. And I think as it grows, it'll have a greater impact, but it'll also become more important, as I mentioned, for more and more people to be doing it. And I think that the role of online entrepreneurs will become much more visible, so to speak, in the economy, because they'll be more needed. So it won't just be people talk about business and labor. So they'll start talking about business, labor, and the entrepreneurs. Because if you look at, for example, what's going on the last couple of months, who's still working? Well, all the essential workers, you know, working day and night, just incredible. And then the other people who are still collecting their salaries, like corporate management types and professionals, and the online entrepreneurs, they're still working because their business was set up for this from the beginning. And I think a lot of people have recognized that and are saying, wow, I'd like to have something like that going. So, you know, hopefully there was not another next time, but just to have some additional security from an online business. I think a lot more people are recognizing that now.
What have you learned from business as a whole?
Oh, you learned so much. But I think the most important thing is having how to set goals and pursue them, because it's measurable in a sense that you can decide what you want to achieve. Like, let's say you want to start a podcast and you want to get the first 100 episodes up. that gives you that goal. It's so measurable. It's so clear. You can see each episode coming up every week. And I think as you do that, you build confidence. And this is an amazing thing because for so many people, you can start out and have no confidence at all. That's very common. A lot of people just feel like it's just not for them, or they can't do it, or they're not the one. But then you incrementally start to do things. Like you'll have a blog that somebody will comment on that say that they like. You put up a post that people will like. You put up a podcast that people will listen to. And slowly you build and build and build. And you start to realize like, wow, that is how confidence comes to be. It's by actually doing the work and seeing the results and getting some of that tangible feedback. So I think that's a big lesson, because especially, and I would say, you know, if you're thinking you're somebody who's not very confident and you don't know what you want to do and so on, then just start small like that. Start with an incremental project, some initial post or something like that, and see how it feels then to get that feedback. And obviously, I'll just put the disclaimer in, there's negative feedback too, and there's not much that we can do about that. It's just part of the way the online world works. But I think in most cases, you know, you'll get more positive feedback because you're going to be reaching out to people who are interested in what you have to say.
Yes, but also to add on that, even in offline jobs, even if you are working a 9-to-5 job, you're always having complaints that you haven't done your job right. You have someone could have done it better than you. Maybe you came in late. Maybe this didn't do. So everywhere, online, offline, you always get that.
That's true too. That's very true. Yeah.
Okay. So you started your own online business. When did you take your first salary?
Because I started as a writer and I was publishing. So that was initially, you know, when you're publishing as a self-published author, you can go directly to the world. You know, you don't need any gatekeepers. So you put your book up on Amazon, on Apple Books, on everywhere, and you can start receiving royalties for the books that you're selling. You promote them yourself. You you know, you can go talk to people at conferences. You can do speeches. You can you have your blog and so on. So you can start earning royalties right there. And then as you transition to something like I have done, transitioning to working as Ready Entrepreneur, that Ready Entrepreneur business is the business focused on helping entrepreneurs. And that process started with coaching. But I also have I have a blog and a podcast, and I write nonfiction books that are for entrepreneurs as well. So it kind of, you know, sort of does, it wasn't like a direct, I guess from the first book sale on to today, you know, that's where there's always been that income stream from the time I started.
What is one thing that has contributed to your success?
I'm going to focus on just for online entrepreneurship in general. The two things that you have going for you, which made it possible for me to do this and makes it possible for so many others, is of course, number one is the technology. So what you have is the internet and everything that's on it. And you also have so many people using it in ways that are beneficial for others, in the sense that, you know, there's so many free resources. There's so many low-cost resources, and there's so much information, people posting blogs and things like that. So you can be successful because you can tap into this incredible store of resources that's sitting there, and the technology has just obviously made all the difference in the world. But the second part is the access to the global marketplace. So I'm a big global traveler. I've been all over the world. I've been to more than 100 countries. I love to interact with people all over the world. And to be able now to look at the entire world as your neighborhood, as I like to say. So everybody in the world is your customer base, in the sense that anywhere you could find people. When you look at the statistics for your blog or your podcast, and you can see the different countries in the world where people are listening or reading, it's really quite incredible. So your success is forged by these two sort of external things, the access to technology and the global marketplace. And then the internal pieces, as I was saying before, is your ability to just then do the work, because it's all there. Like, this is a current economy that is really set up for anyone to access. There's so much that's new. There's so much that people haven't explored. There's obviously ways to be successful, but we haven't seen all of the ways yet. There are people that are successful and you look at them and you think, okay, they got successful because they have a big Instagram following or something like that. But you don't know what the next thing is going to be. So it's wide open in that sense. So if you're willing to just dive in and set yourself up and focus on a platform and keep going through it and doing the work, then that's the other piece of it. That's the internal part of the success. But the external part is very clear that you have this opportunity because of technology in the global marketplace.
In your businesses, do you ever have a mentor or a coach yourself?
Yeah, I am basically like courses. So I'm a lifelong student. I have 5 post-secondary degrees. So when I first started, I looked at the online courses. Now, not the ones like that are sort of the mass production ones, but I went specifically to courses on how to self-publish a book, for example, how to do online courses, how to do Facebook ads, that type of thing. And then what I did is I went to a lot of conferences. And conferences give you an opportunity to meet people, including the course creators. You meet very successful people, and you can talk to them and, you know, support their work and reach out to them. So I don't have like a one-on-one mentor that I would be calling up and saying, hey, help me with this. But there's a lot of people that I have spoken to and got to know over time that I can reach out to and have conversations with and ask them questions with and so on. So I think the mentoring, I ask this question also of a lot of entrepreneurs, and it's interesting how people go back and forth on this. Some people say absolutely you have to have a mentor, and other people say no. I say it's a no you do not have to have a mentor, but you want to have the information and the access. So if you don't know anyone personally who is an entrepreneur or a super successful person or somebody like that that you can call, you can sort of build what I call virtual mentors. And I've got a lot of virtual mentors. The people who you want to learn from, you can go and you can listen to their podcasts. You can hear them on other podcasts. You can go to their YouTube videos. You can see them in interviews. You can read all their books. You follow them on social media, support them on social media, and build up this connection because you know all about what that person's saying and you like what that person's saying. So you have that virtual mentor in the sense that you're using their advice, you're following it, you're implementing it. Even if you haven't met them in person, you still give yourself a connection that you can then use as you build your business.
What is the most valuable thing your virtual mentors has told you?
I think the most valuable is around mindset. Maybe I'll take a step back and sort of talk through some of the resources that I've accessed. So on a technical level, I would say a book like Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek, that book had an impact because it really talks about being able to leverage what I was talking about, technology in the global market, to live the life that you really want. So you take a look at that, and then you look at some of the more mindset-driven books like the Tony Robbins-type books Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. You go back to those and you think about, how do I train my brain to participate in this, what I want to do? And it takes time. I would definitely say it takes time. You read the books more than once, for sure. You listen again to the videos and the audios and all that is more than once, but you want to develop that mindset that doesn't let you let go. So as the perseverance and that I mentioned before, you really need that in the business world, especially if you're somebody like me who has had other careers. And so I can sit and think, well, maybe I should go back to something else. But you know what? I know that what I really want to do is this business going forward. I think for some other people, they see an online business might be the last thing that they have the grasping for, so they can then focus on it 100% because they have no other options. But if you think, okay, I've got other options, I could always go back, you don't want to do that. So you need to really work on your mindset. And that's one thing that I've definitely pulled from the books. I haven't been to, well, maybe I have, maybe some, like, you know, there's like success forums and things like that and conventions and all that kind of thing. I did go to one. I went to one for Jack Canfield did. But So
how was it?
It was great. It was great, actually. And I, again, I'm not really that kind of person. I'm not a much of a rah-rah person, but I'd already read his books and seen him interviewed and so on. Everybody, I think, knows who Jack Canfield is. He's one of the big, you know, great success coaches that's out there. And I got to meet him, which was great too. So I think you can go to something like that and it reinforces what you're learning. If you're reading the books and listening to the audios and watching the videos, and then you actually go to the conference and you're again around like-minded people who are committed to improving themselves and improving their success, you can really grow on that. You know, it really helps you to sort of feed on what they're doing as well and build yourself. You build yourself up because you can see other people doing it. You're not so isolated anymore. So I think that if you can combine it and take the virtual learnings and then put that into the real world, sure, that I think that's even better.
What grounds you?
I think for me, it's the work, and it might sound like that's not much fun, but I really am committed to helping people make this work. And I think also I have the advantage of the fact that I've done so many of the other things other people are trying to get to. People want to travel. I've traveled a lot. You know, people want to go to big parties. I've gone to lots of big parties. You know, I've done so. All of that doesn't interest me as much as travel still interests me. But the pressure is not on to see the great world's great sights when you've seen so many of them. And so then I can really focus on the work. And the work is, and it's not even work at this point, because it is what I really want to do. And it allows you, one of the things I tell people, when you're online and doing something that you invent, you can actually use all your skills to the greatest potential. So when you're in the corporate world and you're doing what other people tell you to do, you might be using a fraction of your skills, especially if you've been in there for a long time and it's become quite routine and there's nothing challenging in it anymore. And then you go into online and you're in charge of everything. And even if you want to be still maintain yourself as a corporate executive in the online world, you could outsource everything, but you still have to manage people. You manage people all over the world in that sense. You have to manage your costs. You have to keep track of your advertising and everything. So it gives you a chance to really expand your skills and use them to the best of your ability. And so it changes the way that you view work. Again, I it's not really work at this point, except for there's some things that you end up doing you probably don't want to do, but you know that you could outsource them or something like that over time. So you can really focus on the reason why you want to do what you're doing. You set your goals. You have what you want to accomplish, and knowing that and knowing that you're adding value and delivering solutions for people, I think that gives you it changes the way you view your life, because everything is now purpose driven, which for a lot of people, they don't have. They go to work every day. They're commuting for hours on the train or they're in the car. And, you know, the work is routine. They're just doing what people tell them to do. Obviously, some people have good jobs and they really enjoy them, but a lot of people are tired with their work. And so the question then becomes, well, what else could you be doing to give yourself more adventure, so to speak, in the work world and to give yourself more opportunity? And it can be focusing on and grounding yourself in something that you really believe in, that you really want to make happen.
What is one thing no one knows about you?
Well, this is, I'll tell you this, this one is from my traveling. One thing I like to do is to try and pass as a local almost everywhere I go in the world. And people might surprise people that I can get away with that. But, so I try and pick up just very, very basic language, like not, you know, barely anything language. And obviously in some countries it doesn't work at all. But I just try and see if I can get away with doing something that makes people think that I actually live in wherever I am in the world, even the most exotic places. So,
wow. I was going to ask you, have you ever been like in Uganda? And then I'll ask you, so what do you do? How do you say hello?
No. And you know what? I wish I had. I have never been to Uganda. Yeah. Not yet. So I don't have I don't have my example from there.
Okay. Thank you for the tip. Tell us more about your book, Recast.
Yeah, so Recast is the aspiring entrepreneur's practical guide to getting started with an online business. And what I do is take you through the 10 steps, the 10 actions to take when you're first getting started. So the first part is all around the foundational aspect of getting started, which to me are things as basic as deciding where you want to work. And it might sound silly to some people, but really, when people are struggling with this idea of recasting themselves as an entrepreneur, any excuse to avoid it becomes a legitimate excuse. So one would be, well, I can't find anywhere to work, or I was going to set up, you know, the kitchen table, but the kids had the table, or so, you know, things like this. But you know, it's really just an excuse because of the fear and the lack of confidence that's creeping in. So I talk about setting yourself up right from the beginning, doing it first. And I talked earlier about momentum. This little task of walking around your house and deciding where you're going to put your desk, where you're going to put your tools, like your whatever you like to use, if you like notepads or whatever, where you're going to have your coffee or water. Like, it sounds really trivial, but it is so critical. And think about it in terms of when you first go to work in somebody's office, or even, you know, and what happens that first day? HR takes you around and shows you everything. They show you where you're going to work. They show you where the supplies are. They show you where the break room is, where the coffee and the water is. And so when you're in the workplace, you get that comfort zone on day one. So why not do the same thing when you're working from home, or if you're going to go work in a local coffee shop or something like that? And so people don't do that, and then they get derailed so quickly on these little trivial things. So I say start with the foundation. Start with your schedule. Some people decide to work at home or even at the coffee shop, and then they realize there's a lot of noise. Like, they'd never noticed it before because the hours are different. They never noticed that, you know, the collection truck comes along every hour or whatever, or the school bells are ringing or whatever. So because they were never at home during the day. And so you need to find these things out. Again, you want to avoid giving yourself excuses to when so many people just sort of, and it's an instinct thing. It's your brain trying to protect you. They throw up excuses, or you can't do this. Go back to the real world, go get a real job. So that's the first part, is all the foundational things. And the next part is then the creative part. Getting your business idea. And I leave this wide open in terms of what you can do. You look at all of your interests. I have a step through process where you go through all of your different interests, all of your different skills. Now, some people already have an idea, so that's great. So you could skip this part. But the ones who don't have an idea, you would go through that part, all through that process, to figure out what your idea is. And then you don't leave it there. You have to figure out what angle on your idea makes the most sense to you. So your idea is to do something around dogs. Well, is it taking care of them? Is it rescue dogs? Is it dog food? Is it dog accessories? You know, you have to decide which part of the story is then where you're going to focus your attention, your passion. And then in that piece, you start to reach out to find your community. You want to know who is interested in this along with you, and you reach out incrementally. You also read, this is where if you have people that you have access to who could be your mentors, or if it's just somebody you know who will speak to you for an hour or so around how to set up a business and what they did. The more information you get into your head, the more you'll realize how diverse entrepreneurship is, that in terms of the way that people approach it, it's not a one and done thing. And when you hear people online saying this is the only way to do something, it's just not. I mean, there's so many different approaches. So you might sit down to speak to somebody who is in a completely different business than you are. It's not even close. But what you're listening for is how they got set up, what they did, any tips, any strategies, things like that. So that's all part of the creative process around getting your business started. So the book goes through that, and around the entire thing is my general philosophy that there is a large group of us that need to move forward with starting our own businesses and building our own self-sufficiency and our own independence. And we are, lucky, I guess, to have the internet to that will get us there, and access to the market, the global market. And so I talk about this overall concept around where we are with entrepreneurship now. We might even need a new word for it, because I think that a lot of people think of an entrepreneur as some guy in his garage inventing a new computer or whatever. But an entrepreneur now is just somebody who has something to offer to other people. You can be a knowledge broker. You can bring, delivering information products. You can bring new products forward through a store. Like, there's just so many different ways to be an entrepreneur. So I talk about that global approach. And then I also talk about personally how it's your opportunity to give yourself professional satisfaction, even if you don't quit your 9-to-5. And I think if you've got a 9-to-5, start building your business on the side and let it grow. But you give yourself professional satisfaction. If you're not getting it at work, you get it through your business using your own skills. You give yourself financial security. Of course, nothing is guaranteed. There's no guarantee that you'll make money. The economy, the way things are going, so who knows what can happen tomorrow. But you're giving yourself, at least you're in the game. So you're giving yourself an opportunity to earn additional income and build your financial security. And then, of course, the most important, giving yourself lifestyle freedom and the opportunity to live life on your terms, on your schedule, to do what you really want to do. So I talk about that, and I go through the 10 steps, and then I talk about going forward, what it looks like for this bigger group of people to develop this entrepreneurial class that's going to be able to continue to drive innovation and provide solutions to people and really provide value to the economy, because they're filling in the gaps in so many different areas where people want or need products and services that are just not out there right now.
Where do we find your book, and how can we connect with you?
Yeah, so a couple of things for the book. Depending on the release date of the podcast, what I'll do is I'll provide a link for listeners to download a free summary of the book. And then if the book is actually out, I'll also provide the information letting you know, I'll follow up letting you know when the book is the release date. And then the scheduled release date is June 28th. So I'm not, but we'll for sure there will be a link for listeners to get access to at least the summary. And then if you get on my list through the summary, I will provide you with the actual release date of the book recast itself. You can reach out to me on social media. I am at Ready Entrepreneur HQ on Facebook, and at Ready Entrepreneur on Instagram, and at Case Lane World on Twitter. So I'd love to hear from listeners, and love to hear your stories and find out about your interest in starting an online business, or if you've already started one and want tips and strategies and so on. Please go over to my website, readyentrepreneur.com, and you can find a lot more information there.
So, Clan, there will be more from Casey in a moment. If you are listening on one of the many podcasting platforms rather than my website, and you are encouraged by Casey's journey, go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for a bonus portion of the interview. The Online Success Journey is a wonderful membership community built for people searching for the path to success. We are one big clan, and you can be part of this community for free. Once you have joined the clan, click on part two of Casey's journey or over 200 plus other journeys that are available, and learn how you can find the right path for your own online success journey. That's a wrap, clan. Remember, success is a journey. Patience and Casey.
This is not the end of the journey. We hope you've enjoyed listening to part one and want to be sure you know there is a second part to this and every journey podcast at onlinesuccessjourney.com, filled with even more success tips, uplifting stories, and even a bit of fun. There are dozens of episodes only available to the members of the Online Success Journey clan. Check out the website and click on Join the Clan for more information. Patience would like to thank you for listening to this podcast, and she has a free audio gift for you at her website. Go to onlinesuccessjourney.com for instant access to this gift. Of course, you know that listening to the journeys of others helps each of us chart our own path. So make sure you're subscribed to be notified as each new interview is posted. There are so many ways to stay connected to the Online Success Journey and to listen in. And if you're enjoying the podcast, we appreciate your help in telling others. One of the best ways to share the benefit you get is to rate and review it at Stitcher and other sites by clicking the stars or completing the ratings form. By clicking thumbs up and leaving a comment on YouTube or liking and sharing the podcast on social media. To review the podcast within iTunes, simply open iTunes to the podcast, click on Ratings and Reviews, then write a review. On behalf of patients and until next time, thanks once more for listening. It is our hope that this podcast will guide you on your own online success journey.